Silly Conversations, the podcast. Your host, Denzel Mills. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, on Silly Conversations, another person who I think is very, very good at what they do. And I'm going to leave Marcella to introduce herself, and then we'll get into the conversation, as always. So, welcome, Marcella.
Thank you, Denzel. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm a little nervous, but...
But you shouldn't be nervous because we're only using your voice, the video we're not using, so don't worry.
Okay. I don't have makeup.
And neither do I. Okay.
No, okay. I'm really happy to be here. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. And you.
I haven't spoken because I know you went on holiday to Brazil to see your family, etc. So very quickly, how was that? How was the... Seeing family for the first time in a long time.
It's always when I go to Brazil, because I have been living here in Spain for 22 years. And always I try to go to Brazil once a year. And always it's an intense experience.
Yeah.
Because it's really nice to see my people, to meet my friends. But always it's difficult because it's like to see... another life I don't have, no? Because my life in Brazil.
When you go back, because you've been here a long time, and I kind of know that sensation that when you kind of go back, it's a little bit like home, but many things you don't know. And so there's like a strange sensation like, I should know this, but I don't. And I should feel this, but I don't.
Yes, it's exactly like this. It's intense, it's strange, and it's nice.
And then in things like you miss, because I have to admit, when I suppose with everybody, when they go back to visit family or friends, especially if they don't go very often, what's your favorite thing that you look forward to? It could be food, it could be drink, it could be, I don't know. What's your favorite thing you look forward to? Or when you get there, you think, oh, I really missed this.
I don't know. There are a lot of things that I miss, but I always, when I go to São Paulo, the city where I live, I try to go also to my village, to a small village where I used to stay in summer with my parents. Okay. And I always, I think it's the thing I miss the most. No?
But to then in terms of, but going to the village now, has it maintained a little bit of what you had or when you went where you were a child, or really has it just changed because of, obviously things change over time?
Changes a lot. Yes, it changed. It's not the same, no? Because I always feel like a little old because I a lot of memories when I was a teenager and when I was a child. And now it's different.
Yeah.
It's bigger, other people, I don't know. It's really different. But I like it.
But when you say village, because sometimes here in Spain, when we say village, it could be 7 people, 10 people, 90 people. Village just outside Sao Paulo, because Sao Paulo is big.
Sao Paulo is really big. It's the, I don't know, it's the second biggest city in the world. I don't know, it's really big.
So a village outside Sao Paulo, how big is this village?
No, if you compare with the village here in Spain, it's bigger. It's like 10,000 people living there.
Oh, right.
Yes, Upton.
That's not really a village now with 10,000 people.
A small town. I don't know how to...
I have no idea because I really don't know how they define villages and towns, even in Britain or even in Spain. I don't know what kind of the definition is. Maybe the definition, I can't say the word, is the numbers of people once it passes a number of people, or it has to have certain facilities. I have no idea.
But if you ask me about food, I always, when I go to Brazil, I want to eat pizza. Pizza in São Paulo is the best pizza in the world.
Pizza?
Yes. It's Italian, but it's different. Pizza in São Paulo is really different.
In what sense is, this is new for me. In what sense is pizza in São Paulo really different apart from being in São Paulo?
Okay. But first of all, we had a lot of good restaurants, beautiful restaurants with a good decoration, and it's elegant restaurants to serve pizza, no? You go. It's like an event. Mm-hmm. It's not like here in Spain that pizza is a fast food. No, really, in São Paulo, you can go with good pizza. So the masa, I don't know how to say the masa.
The base.
Is like you can choose like a thin or more
a thicker base,
smooth. Yes, and it's really good. And always, a pizza is made in I don't know how to say this, horno a leña.
So a wood oven or a wood burning oven.
Yes, wood burning oven. And
oh, one thing before you continue, are you the thick base or the thin base pizza?
Mm-hmm. What
would you prefer, the thick base or the thin?
The biggest one.
All right. I like the thin base. I prefer the thin base. Yeah. And
I love the
other thing then, the topping. What?
The topping. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there is a cheese, mm-hmm, that there isn't here in Spain, mm-hmm, called catupiry.
Okay.
It's really good.
What's special about this cheese? Is it the taste, or is it like a mozzarella or something completely different?
No, it's like, I don't know. It's more cremoso, more like...
It's creamier.
Creamier, yes. And it's have a special taste. Okay. If you have the opportunity, I recommend to taste catupiry.
Okay, catupiry. Right? That's the only Brazilian word I'm going
to
say.
And if you go to São Paulo, try pizza.
And pizza in São Paulo. But then... So we talk about the base, the topping, tomato and cheese. But do you prefer another one for you personally? Because I like pepperoni pizza.
No, I love chicken, mm-hmm, and chicken with catupiry is okay. My favorite flavor for pizza.
Because one of the requisites when I talk about people listening to the podcast, I always say, first of all, chocolate. You have to have chocolate. You know, chocolate is like a stable thing. Then I kind of recommend you have a glass of wine, glass of beer, or Coca-Cola, whatever you drink. And then I do sometimes, as a third option, recommend people having pizza. So this is my chance. So if at any stage in the future, because this recording has been done after the launch of Silly Conversations. So if I do get people listening from Brazil... Or Brazilians, which I do know a few Brazilians here in Valencia, or Brazilians who are listening to this, in São Paulo, you can sit and listen with pizza.
With pizza, with catupiry and
with catupiry,
dry tomato.
And dry tomato. Yes, sun-dried tomato. This is very nice. Yes. So there you go. You can... Pizza now is on the official sitting, eating list of Silly Conversations podcast. There you go. Fantastic. Okay. Pizza. I'm still surprised at the moment, to be honest. You know, okay, let's just move on. Good to see the family. Did you have the pizza then in one of these restaurants?
Yes, a lot. Every week I stay there, I went to eat pizza.
So the pizza... Was it something because Italians at some stage in the past, I mean, Italians go everywhere, you know, and Chinese and Indian, etc. So was it something, mm-hmm, that in the past Italians who settled in Brazil or became kind of a staple food in Brazil? Is that the origin behind it?
Yes. And there are a big Italian community in Brazil.
Right.
And they went from Italy to Brazil in, I don't know when, but after... I don't know.
We could just say a long time ago.
But yes, a long time
historically, ago. Historically, a long time ago always works for everything. So we can just say a long time ago. Yes, a long time ago works for everything. So fantastic.
Oh. And Brazil received a lot of people from Italy, from Japan, from Germany, from Spain.
From Japan?
Yes, there are a big community, Japanese community in Brazil.
And this is, I don't know, before the after the Second World War, before the Second World War, do you know when or the reasons why? Or?
I don't know. The Japanese, it was after the Second War, and the Italian is before.
Right.
Yeah, the Italian went because they went to work at the coffee production. They need people for, and then
so
Italian
this is,
goes there.
So this is the connection between the Italians and coffee, probably.
Maybe.
Okay. You see, it's not so silly, these conversations. You learn, well,
no,
I learned something anyway. So my friend, you do some very interesting stuff. And I remember when I came to, well, when I came to see you, or you came to Valencia. Either way, you were in Valencia and you were doing a presentation. And yeah. Yes, I came to see you. I went to see you give that presentation. And I just remember looking around the room. There's a lot of geeky people because you're going to explain in your area of work. But the fact that I think I said geeky people, people know it's something to related to computers and things like that. Just tell my audience, I don't know who's in my audience at the moment. Could be 10 or 110. I have no idea. But tell my audience, let's pretend it's 110. Tell my audience what you do in life, professionally.
Professionally. I am a UX consultant, a user experience consultant. And I work in digital projects. Like when a client wants to an app or a website or a tool for his company, a digital tool. So I
am for those of us who don't know, because I remember when I first started, you know, talking to you about this and you said, you know, a UX design or user experience design, it's something we see every day. So when you say user experience designer or developer, what is the user experience?
Okay, the user experience is everybody knows what is this, because we all are users. No, when you use an app or when you navigate through a website, you are improving the user experience. Mm-hmm. Is the experience on online apps or website?
Yeah.
So I have a specific role in the project that I am the person who think about the person who is going to use this digital product.
So you're the person who thinks about people like me and my 110 listeners at this moment, unless it's gone down and it could be like 97. But anyway, and you're the person who thinks how we should use it or what things we're looking for, or is it a combination of the two?
It's a combination. I have to think what you need, and I have to think how to organize things, how to organize the navigation, how to organize the layout, that thinking that this layout or this web page should be the easiest web page in the world, like make things simple and things delightful, that you can have a good experience.
Delightful. I wish you should tell somebody at certain big organizations that we have in Spain, like airplanes and trains, to make their web pages and going through their web pages delightful, because believe me, sometimes it's a nightmare. Imagine. Don't look at my website, by the way, okay?
Okay.
Imagine if somebody wanted an app or a web page. What kind of things, because I think you talked about this in the presentation that you talked about. Give us a very quick overview. What kind of things do you take into consideration to have a website or an app which basically is super sexy but functional?
Okay. I think first of all, you should do my work. Like you should think about people who is going to use it. Mm-hmm. So you can know the content of the page,
right?
But you should think that people is going to use it don't know. So you should organize things in a way that these people can find easily, and these people don't have to think about how to use your page.
So in terms of when you talk about think, you're talking about the whole range, how people navigate around. You're talking about maybe colors as well, I suppose.
Yes. First of all, you should think what is your goal, no, objective, or object in the page. What do you want to say? Of course, you want to, I don't know, people listen to interesting information. You want people to consult some exercise. You should think, what for is my page? Mm-hmm. No, then you have to hierarchize. What's the most important thing?
Hierarchize. I can't say it. You have to put from top to bottom. I can't say the word hierarchy and hierarchize. I don't know if hierarchize is a word. The hierarchy.
This one's so difficult.
Let's change it. You need to think of the hierarchy of things.
Cool. Yes, so you should put the most important thing at first, and then the other things. And you can do if you have a lot of objectives in the page, like I want this, I want that, I want you can put all things together. No, you should to choose the most important things.
Because I know which pages you've worked on, and like I said, when I don't mention company names, etc. Which ones are, in terms of designs that you've done or you observe, which kind of organizations have the better user experience? Banks, telecommunications, shopping, airline companies? Which kind of category would you say generally has the better structure or user experience?
I think shoppers. Has the best experience because they need to sell things.
Right.
Also, flying companies or banks needs the online channel, for their business. But I think banks, insurance companies, transportation companies need to improve their user experience.
Yeah.
Some are better, other are worse, but they need to improve. Then some shoppers need this because they used to do a lot of tests and to test it with real people, and then they are improving their webpage more than the others.
But then obviously people invest a lot of money to make this design, etc. I don't know if this is the correct term. I don't know how long is the lifespan or the usability of an app or something. How often does it change, say, for an organization like a bank or airline company? How often does it last, in a sense?
I think the companies with spend money improving their channel, their online channels. They have constantly mudanzas constantes, like
consistent changes or constantly changing
all the time. Mm-hmm. If you look now and then you look 1 month after, you find that they are changing constantly,
right?
Like frequently, yeah. Yes. And the banks are improving. Mm-hmm. Their online channel, because since there aren't more physical banks, no? So they also need the online channel.
So if we continue in this way, you know, the apps and things like this for banking services, for buying flights, for buying clothes online, etc., is there a point when you will never have work?
Sorry, I don't understand the
question. Is there a point that we get to, there's work, but there's much, much less because people have a base, a platform already, and maybe it's in the second iteration or the third iteration. So is there less work coming through in the next 5 or 10 years?
I don't think so, because technology changes a lot every year. No, nowadays with AI, we are learning how to design for AI.
Right.
So I think in 5 years, 10 years, maybe I am sure all the web pages or apps are going to be very different.
Right.
They are now. some people say that we are going through, I don't know how to say in English, ephemera UX, like UX it disappear with the time, like AI generates an user experience specifically for you. I think it's probably the feature of user experience, not that I open my computer and then I want they show me things like flights to Brazil and chocolate shop, I don't know, something specific for me. And right. If you go to the same page, probably it will show you different things because it's like personalized.
Okay.
For you.
I don't know. I have this before with other people as well. Not personalized, but in terms of a word I couldn't say. And I spent about 10 minutes trying to say it. So in terms of your particular work, in terms of UX design, is AI becoming more and more involved in this process? Whether it's the front end, the end we see in terms of colors and shapes and the layout, or in the back end. See, I'm like a technical person, eh? Front end and back end. Huh? All these years of helping out in your company, I've learned something. I mean, it's only front end and back end, but I've learned something. So if it's the front end or at the back end?
I think both. They will happen change in front end, back end, design.
But at this moment, are you incorporating more AI, I don't know if it's modeling or AI features to help you build apps and apps, sorry, I digress. Apps. Yeah. Everybody in Spain says APP. APP. APP is short for application. So say apps. Don't say APP. App. No, it's apps. Please. Apps.
Apps.
You know, I mean, you look at other things and they say USA or UCA. Yeah. And it's low. And then when you get to something which should be pronounced like that, then they say, El Apepe. No, it's apps.
I have to say that I used to say APP and I learned with you that it's apps.
Apps.
And it's much more easy. It's easier.
Thank you very much. Apps. Please, the world. It's apps. Called apps or applications. APP? No. So, sorry, I interrupted you. So
yes,
you were saying...
I am using AI in my work in three ways, no? Mm. We are learning how to work with AI and how to design for AI. Like, we are using, like, tools that improve the design process, that you can design faster and more precisely. So
With AI, yes?
With AI. So AI improves the design process.
Right.
And we are learning how to design for AI. So we have, a chatbot or a tool with AI for a client. And we have to design the interface of these tools. It's designed for AI. And we are doing a very interesting work with the clients because I don't know if you know that 85% of the AI projects fail.
85% or?
85%.
Yeah, 85% fail.
Fail, yes. But because company don't know how to use AI. Where to use? They want to use. I need AI. I need. And they start to doing project without matching with the real needs. So we are doing like some workshops with the clients, showing them how to find where AI can really give good value for the company.
I'm a big company, important, and I come to you. And I say, as the CEO or Mr. or Mrs. head person of the company, I need AI. my life depends on AI. Your life depends on AI. How do you tell me no? How do you say my platform, my company may not be the best fit for the level of AI I want? So how do you make that discussion or conversation with the client?
No, AI always can help, but always the small companies, the biggest company, all the sectors, companies. But you need to understand where to apply AI.
So it's you meet me, or you know, we're in my super enormous office, because obviously Silly Conversations has grown big. It's like a Microsoft or an Apple or a Google in the podcasting world. And I'm sitting in a very big tower,
okay,
in a very big office. And you're going to tell me I'm not ready for AI, or I'm not ready for the degree of AI. How would you kind of consult somebody who's adamant that they want AI? What would you say? How would you advise me?
But something like this, no, I start telling this, do you know that 85% of the AI project fails?
So you just start with that automatically, yeah? The next level you should say, the next line you should say is, do you want to be in the 85% or the other group?
You are the big boss of the company. So I say, now you know all your ecosystem. Then you know where are your pain points. Now we have to analyze the most important pain point, and you need to find the root cause.
So two things here. When you said the pain points is like the things which cause problems or blockages or difficulties in the company, yeah?
Yes.
And then the root cause, obviously the cause of those particular things. Okay.
These particular things. Then I can call the AI experts from my company, and they are going to show you inspirational conversations.
Inspirational conversations. Now this is definitely the business talk, isn't it? Inspirational. Who came up with that? This is going to be I don't know if it's an internal thing from your company, or it's the language that people use now in IT world and UX design.
Yeah.
Sounds very good though.
Conversaciones inspiracionales.
Yeah, you know, inspirational conversation. Oh my God, I should have changed the name. Inspirational conversations. Rather than silly conversations.
Silly conversation, no, inspirations conversations.
Well, maybe it could be episodes of silly conversations and then inspirational conversations. You know, where we take you to the next level with, of course, pizza. Pizza from Sao Paulo and chocolate, and take you to that next level. One of the things, actually, which I think is going to be useful for people as well, because when we have difficulty saying words, and I'm having difficulty saying that word hierarchize, but anyway, when we have difficulty saying words, always look for a synonym. If we have a presentation and that word is written, then no problem. We can try it once. If we can't say it, use an alternative. We have difficulties, and rather than struggling, use a synonym, an alternative. And we're struggling when it's not necessary.
We don't need this word.
Because we can use inspirational conversations to address our lack of ability to say that word, the word we're not going to say anymore. Well, this is what it's all about sometimes. But I do like inspirational conversations. That sounds very nice. Yeah, it could be like a religious thing. I don't know if you can say that on a podcast either, but anyways, it's one of these things. Anyway, inspirational conversations. We know with Marcella and Denzel every Sunday at 9.
It sounds like emotionally, no, that I have an emotional problem, like my heart is broken.
Yes, but the thing is, everything's fine. But that's very cool. Yes. So next time, people, every time you open you turn on your phone, your computer, you go to one of the apps for these things, quite possibly somebody like Marcella, or even Marcella, was the person who's responsible for that design.
If it's a good one, it's me.
If it's a good one.
It's bad, it's not me.
If it's a good one, it's her. This is kind of a running theme. Because, you know, I never was a person who liked to do exercise. I think when we used to talk, I wasn't really an exercise person. And I joined the gym. They use an app. And now they track everything you do. So at the end of each month, they send you an email. It's a bit invasive for somebody who doesn't like going to the gym. Maybe a normal person would think, oh, this is the best thing, etc. But for me, you know, to have an email and say, oh, you haven't been for 7 days. You've only done 7 hours. You've done zero guided classes. You've done zero of the bike classes. I think, you know, it's too much.
This is the user experience. Eh? And this perception, this think about this kind of thing. You are talking about your user experience.
In my case, it's not so much of a user. It's a non-user in this sense.
Non-user experience. It's a new term.
You know, just related to Denzel, you know, a non-user experience. Are you still doing your watercolor painting? Because you did watercolor paintings, yeah?
Yes, I like to watercolor paint, but only flowers. I really like to paint flowers.
Yeah.
But the flowers you're
painting, is it things like from memory, or you take a photograph, or you look in the flower book of flowers to get ideas?
Depends on sometimes I paint flowers that I pick up mm-hmm. the street mm-hmm. and I really like paint real flowers, no? So
right.
I pick up some and then I create something with them. Sometimes I paint models that I find in the internet that I like, and then I reproduce like similar.
Okay.
And
I need to correct this. You said okay. In the internet.
What?
Thank you. That one I needed to correct. Or what do you do? Do you put them in a frame and hang them in your house? What do you do with your paintings? Because they're small.
I have some frames on my house. Mm-hmm. Here in my room, I have one. Mm-hmm. And I have plastic fold.
Folders, yeah.
With a lot of folders. Then I put them.
And do you sign them?
And I always take photos.
And do you sign them? Put your signature on them.
Yes.
Oh.
A small signature.
Okay, but you never know. This could be the thing. You should try to. You being a UX designer, you could design your own web page, promoting your own hand painted watercolors.
No, sometimes I thought about an Instagram with all this paint, but I never do it.
And I personally would promote them for you. I would.
Okay.
On this channel.
The Silly Conversation podcast.
Well, actually, we're talking about, what was it? It wasn't Silly Conversations. What was it? The Inspirational Conversations. I love that name. Inspirational Conversations. I will give you a section.
Okay.
The problem is it's a podcast and these are paintings. I'll have to describe them. I'll have to get some good terminology. Or somebody who describes things very well. And then we could describe your paintings for people then to decide to place orders. Or we could direct them to your future website with your paintings. Okay?
Okay.
And look at this idea which is coming. I'm not even going to ask for a commission.
Okay.
Everything you sell will be just for you.
The thousand and thousand paintings I will sell, you want.
Well,
I won't give a comment.
No, because you, first of all, they're done by hand, okay? And you've shown me some, and they're quite good. First of all, they're originals because there's only going to be one off. So they're originals. Signed originals. I'm sure somewhere along the line, there's a bit of a market there. You could probably put a nice price. Because there's only one. So it's not like you can buy 10 of the same things. If there's only one, whether it's 10 euros or 10,000 euros, it's only one.
My art is unique for you.
So, I haven't given you homework in a very long time. In a very, very long time. I'm going to give you some homework. Your homework is going to be to showcase
my painting,
your watercolors at some time in the future. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call you back in 6 months' time Now you don't need to worry.
6 months, I think I can do it.
You don't need to worry, because I don't know if this is going to be still going in 6 months' time. But anyway, I'm going to call you back in six months' time.
We'll have thousand people listening to podcast.
Hopefully,
the audience.
Hopefully, but in 6 months' time, we'll catch up again and we'll see where you are with the whole inspirational idea. Yeah, we're on inspirational again. Inspirational watercolors. That's it. Inspirational watercolors. That's the webpage, and that's what you. That's the could be the company name. Inspirational watercolors. One-off watercolors designed just for you. Did you get the knives? Now this is based on a previous conversation about cooking knives. Okay. Did you get the cooking knives?
No.
No,
I don't get this because.
Well, Christmas is coming soon.
I spend a lot of money to buying tickets to Brazil. It's really expensive.
But it's coming up to the holiday periods again. So, I mean, maybe this is another question you could still ask your husband for again.
Maybe for Christmas. It's a good idea.
So, listen, remember those knives a few years ago, which were like very expensive? What about now?
And with the knives, I really need ollas.
You mean
to cook?
Cooking pans, the pans, yeah? But these are the pots or pans, yeah, ollas, pots or pans, the ones where you use very or no oil whatsoever. They have these very, very special ones which you use, they're very expensive, but you use very little oil or nothing, yes?
Yes, but I don't know. Do you know this material? It's like.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I can't remember the name, but I know these are expensive. And with the knives I was telling you about, I really do think that's over the top. I think that's going to the next level, asking for these two things together. I think maybe, you know, go with one and then maybe 2 years later go with the other. Trying to get both at the same time, I really do think you might have a few problems.
Okay.
Marcella, I've got it. Sell the paintings to buy the knives and the pots. That's it.
Perfect. My business plan.
Your business plan.
What is your business plan? I will sell water paintings, watercolor paintings, and then I will buy my oven book. I don't know how to say this, and my knives.
And because what do they call it now? This kind of crowdfunding. You know, you could do like crowdfunding.
The audience wants to donate some money for this very important cause.
Very important cause
for the world.
Knives which cut like
a small
magic
step for the world, and a very important step for me.
Fun crowdfunding, just to get some knives and some cooking pots. This is a good idea.
Helping me and my husband.
Helping both of you, yes. But maybe the next, if the crowdfunding doesn't work, at least you can try the watercolors, signed watercolors, and then failing that, just your husband. There you go. And then are you doing any other things, any particular activities, you know, like me being a super gym goer once every 3 months?
You know, I have a very good motivation for my gym.
You do have. If there's one thing I think, if somebody could chemically invent motivation in a chemical, like a tablet or something, or a drink, I would be the first one to buy this. I think this would be great. Motivation.
I used to do this online class.
All right,
with,
yeah.
And you still really good.
Do you still
coach?
Do it? Do you still do the online classes?
Yes,
yeah?
I'm still doing. Yes, but I'm doing with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really good teacher, a gym teacher.
Right.
And I brought in at my house and with videos. It's not classes, it's like a videos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This guy sent to me.
And you then have the discipline to find the time and the day, and you follow.
Yes.
Gosh, I wish
but
I had
easier
that.
Because I do it at home, so it's easier to find time. And for me, it works. And
you know, now I'm a bit jealous. No, it's true. Because
why?
No, because at home, doing this exercise via video or online at home, I think, you know, that's not going to work for me unless I can get those motivation pills or injections. That'd be great.
I don't know, for me it's because my teacher put off his shirts and I love to see the videos without shirts.
Okay. Well,
t-shirts.
Hang on a minute, let's go back a little bit here. This is a conversation.
This is a good motivation.
This is a conversation between you and me. The rest of the world has left now. Okay. You're telling me that if you do video, you do the exercise, and what the motivation is because the teacher, when he sends his videos, is basically without a shirt.
No, not always, but sometimes he needs to show these muscles.
Yeah,
these muscles. No, you should do. It's not correct. You should do.
Oh,
this.
It's a technical. It's a technical thing.
And say, oh yes, I can understand now.
Right. Well, it's a good thing I don't do classes where I explain the clothes to my students. Because probably I'll have to take off my clothes. This is a shirt and this is a pair of trousers.
It can be a good motivation for English class too.
It could be. However, I think it would make the news very, very quickly. Very, very quickly. You know, I can see on the television that English teacher tries to motivate students by taking his clothes off. People are going to interpret that the wrong way. You know, and I'll be in the back of the police van just saying, it's a technique, it works. Ask Marcella, it works. The technique works. It's been fantastic. It's been very nice catching up with you because it's been quite a long time. If you are coming to do another one in that geeky, I think it's every year, no, in Valencia, that
yes,
event.
I think they organize every year. I don't remember the name of the event. But it's
Geeks R Us. That's the name. Geeks R Us.
Yeah.
So yeah. If you do come back to the one in Valencia with Geeks R Us and you're going to give another presentation, let me know because I'll definitely come down to see you and then we can.
Sure.
I'll learn something new. I'll take a few more photos and then we can have a drink. And I've learned something. Sao Paulo, pizza. Got to try it.
Yes.
It's the good thing.
Thank you, Danger. It was very nice to talk with you. And thank you for coming to the presentation.
Well, I would say two things. One, it's always very nice talking to me, even though I say so myself. And I even talked to myself and I said, Denzel, that was a great conversation. It's good that you're still enjoying the work and you're still trying to make our lives a lot easier using apps, not APPs, using apps, etc. So thank you very much for your time. This is going to be another super fantastic podcast. And in 6 months' time, we'll be back to see how the watercolor website is going and the crowdfunding for pots and knives is going.
Thank you.
Marcella, thank you very much for your time and the conversation and the chat and the laughs. And catch up soon, yeah?
Okay, for sure.
Thank you very much. Like I said, I'd like to thank again Marcella for the time she's given me to basically have a chat. We haven't spoken for a couple of years, I think. And it was quite interesting. And hopefully you know a little bit more about the user experience and pizza in Sao Paulo. This was Silly Conversations. That was Marcella. See ya. The voices and the names have been changed in this podcast to protect the wicked. For any grammar, information, or correction, please ask someone else, not me.